Okay, good. So let's get started. So we're starting Yuchat Nubez, B'nei Rabbi Chiya. We're going to get to the next page over here. The Gemara starts with the following. We have been discussing what is it that Mason, what is it that people who have passed, what do they know? What do they know what's going on in this world? So we're going to continue that discussion tonight. So B'nei Rabbi Chiya, this is the following story. B'nei Rabbi Chiya, the children of Rabbi Chiya, nafak l'kiryasa, after their father passed, so they went to Kiryasa, like to the Kirya, they went to like the town. Rashi thinks says it's Asik Bavodas Achuzasam. They went out to like the wherever their estate was, and they went to deal with their estate. So Nafla Kiryasa. And while they were, I guess, busy with all the financial situation and dealing with all the arrangements of their estate, Iyakir Luhut Hamudaihu, their learning became heavy. And they were not able to remember it. What does that mean? So if you've learned in yeshiva for a while, and all of a sudden then you went out to business, and you stopped learning for a long time, so sometimes it's hard to get back into it. You forgot, you know, a little bit how it was, what you learned. So they were, the children of Yechiyah, they obviously had learned, they had been in yeshiva, but Rashi over here, the third line, says, Yakir Tamudaihu, that their learning became yakir. Rashi explains it means that they got heavy. Ishtakach tamudam migir sasam. They forgot their learning, what they had learned. Yakir Rashi is in the huchbad. It became like heavy on them. Makmas shicha, because they had forgotten it. So basically, from the time they spent dealing with their estate, they forgot their learning. And they were very upset about it. So Amr lechad lechavre. So one of the brothers said to the other, Yada avun b'haytzar, does our father know, like, what's going on, like, what's happening? Does our father know that we're, like, kind of struggling with the learning and that we're upset by it? So Amarlei Li'idach, so he said back to him, Mina Yada, how could he know? V'haksiv, it says in the Pasuk, Yechav Dubana V'lo Yada, that they're going to honor his children and he will not know. There's a Pasuk that talks about that someone who's passed there give honor to his children and the person won't even know about it. So how can our father know anything that we're suffering at all? So Amarlei Yidach, the other brother said back to him, V'lo yada, and he doesn't know, for sure he knows. V'haksiv, it says in another pasuk, Ach b'saro olav yich'av, his like his flesh, his meat upon him, will be suffering, V'nafsho olav ta'avel, and he will be like mourning for himself. So that apparently he does know what's going on with his body, with himself. So V'amr B'yitzchak, and Rabbi Yitzchak in fact says, Kasha rima lames, the worm that decomposes the dead body is hard, it's difficult for someone who passed. Kemachat the basra chai, like a pin, like a needle going into like your own real flesh. So that is like a worm going into the flesh or eating, decomposing the dead body. It's the same, the idea that they do know what's going on with their physical self. The same way the pasuk quotes that they have a pain from their body and they're gonna like sort of mourn over them their own decomposition. So must be the dead do know what's happening. They know what's happening to their own body. So the Gemara answer is no. Amre, they said that is only true b'tzar didhu. They're aware of their own personal anguish, their own personal pain, what happens to their own body decomposing. But b'tzara d'achrina lo yadeh. But the pain and suffering of others, they're not aware of that. So that Rabbi Chiya would not be aware of his own children struggling in their learning after they spent time in the estate. He's not aware of their own issues. Mar says, the low, and is that really true, that's all that they know? Vahatanya, we have the following brisa, which actually tells the story. And the story goes like this. Ma'asa b'chassid echad. There was a story of one chassid. Some say it was Yehuda ben Eli, Bar Eli. Some say it was Yehuda... Rabbi Yehuda, who's the other one says it is? Marsha says. Marsha.
Baba.
Rabbi Yehuda Mababa? Whoever's in the phone got it. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda Mababa. So those are two, those two people might, or referred to other, in other places as the chassid. So this chassid echad was either one of those two individuals. Shenasan dinar la'ani. He gave a dinar to a poor person, right? A poor person was asking, begging for money, so he gave him a dinar. The Erev Hashanah, it was, happened to be on Erev Hashanah that he gave this ani, the coin. And it was Bishnei Betzoras, it was in the year of famine. So like basically like, it was a year where there wasn't a lot of money to go around, and he gave up this dinar. V'hiknito ishto, and his wife gave him a really hard time about it. Now they explain that the reason why they gave him a hard time is that, and some say it makes more sense, it was really very light, because it was poor, and this was his last dinar that he gave away. And so you can understand, this is like a year famine. It was not so easy to get more money back. So when he got home, and so I said, okay, you got the money, we're going to go shopping for Yontif. Sorry, I gave it to, because he was a chassid, he gave it to a nani who needed it. But his wife wasn't so happy, because now they were down to zero in the bank. So what are you going to do? Can't go home anymore. Wife's not happy. So halach, the lan, the beis hakvaros. He goes to the cemetery. Where else are you going to sleep when you get kicked out of the house?
Mm.
Vishama, and this is the Amar Shana. Vishama, and he hears, shtei ruchos, he hears two spirits. Okay? Rashi says these two spirits were shtei yulados mesos. These happened to be two young girls who had died young. And he hears them, shemesafros zolozo. He hears them conversing. Now, just for a second, it's interesting, they point out, as the Amar Shana points out, why is it that they're called ruchos here? Not like he hears the neshamos, or to mason spirit, ruchos, right? Like the winds, like spirit. I mean, it's spirit. It's the same thing. But why the word ruchos? So he explains that, you know, man is composed of a lower essence of a body and the higher essence of the soul. You know, that's the nefesh chaya. When Hashem creates man, he creates a nefesh chaya. It says in the pasuk. So it translates. The explanation is ruach mala. The translation of Onkelos is a spirit, a ruach memahala, a higher spirit. Meaning, the point and the discussion that they explain is that our point of connection between our physical body and the spirit above, that's what's unique about man, that has that special connection, that's the ruach memahala. And that ruach, Marsha says, and it's a deeper idea with many other implications or things we can explain, but that is the point of connection between the two, and that as the body is decomposing and the array and the neshama is up in Shemayim, the point that was still kind of floating around by the kever is that connection between what's above and what's left of the person below. And that's the ruach. So that's why I call it Shnei Ruchos.
Do you know how long that lasts?
That the ruach is there?
The first 11 months? No?
I don't know. It doesn't seem to say that there's any end to it.
That is bottom here, close to Ramban in the Torah of Adam.
Yeah.
It says that they're not really speaking to each other. It's just like they're... It's like this spiritual communication between them, and it's like Ruach HaKodesh, which is why they use the term.
Ruach HaKodesh is Ruach.
He was, since Rabbi Yehuda was at this elevated level, he was able to
discern it.
No, he was able to sort of achieve, you know, to connect the Ruach HaKodesh. That's the way.
A lot of the Rishonim, not necessarily here, not specifically here on this page. They kind of discuss why in the world is this tremendous tzaddik? What's he doing in the cemetery on Rosh Hashanah? I mean, sleeping. I mean, I get it. It's not like welcome to home, but what's he doing on Rosh Hashanah in the cemetery? And again, I looked at the Marsha. The Marsha says he likes the explanation of the Ritva, who basically says this was a dream. This wasn't specifically he went to the basic forest. They had a dream, and it happens to be that the dreams on Rosh Hashanah are really, really, really serious. So that he had not just a regular dream, but he connected to the kochos that dreams can have on Rosh Hashanah, and this is what he dreamt. Now, in fact, the idea that a dream could be so strong on Rosh Hashanah is something that we find in the Gemara in Bava Basra. I was going to mention it later, but I'll mention it now. The Gemara in Bava Basra quotes that the nephews of Yochem and Zakkai had, well, let's see, let's say it like this. It says like this. It says, "Bnei Achtei Rabbi Yochum and Zakkai chazlu b'chalmei." They saw in a dream. Okay, there's a dream that occurred in the context here of again Rosh Hashanah that they were going to, because it talks about the fact that Rosh Hashanah, it's when it's decided how much money a person is going to make for the year. That's when a person's salary, what they're going to gain, what they're going to lose, is determined for the whole year. It's on Rosh Hashanah, and they had a dream, and the dream was that they were going to lose some tremendous amount of money. Shiva mea dinare, 700 dinarim, they were going to lose that year. So their uncle, Yochum and Zakkai, like all year long was like kind of really soliciting, like he was like, you know, can you donate, can you give a little more money, can you give some money? He was always asking money, he didn't tell him why. But he was saying, you can donate more. And he got to the point where he was able to get like all of that 700 donated except for like 17 dinarim left. And just before Yom Kippur, I guess the end of the following year, The government came, it says, and the tax collector came and taxed them 17 dinarim. So they came to their uncle, and they were, like, all nervous that, like, the guy's going to come back and get more. And Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said to him, no, don't worry. This guy's not coming back. He's like, how do you know? He said, well, I know because the dream was that you were going to lose 700 dinarim. And I also know, I kept count of all the times that you donated to the yeshiva, and it came out to, you know, 683. So that I knew that there's only 17 left over, so that's why they came, because it had to come true. So that the dreams that you have on Rosh Hashanah are so, you know, again, these Yom Narayim are so substantial that they really are, they can affect, or they affect reality. They really are, you know, are a separate type of nature of a dream than the dreams that might happen other times of the year, as we're going to see in the story as well. So the Gemara says, what happened? So you hear these two spirits speaking. The Amrachad v'chaverta, and one says to her friend, Chaverti, my friend, boy v'nashot ba'olam, let's go like around the world, v'nishma me'achori hapargod, and let's hear behind the curtain, meaning up in Shemayim, ma per'anos ba'olam. What's going to happen this year? What heartless, what bad things are going to be in the year to come? Like, what's the, you know, what's the hot stuff going on that's being decreed today on Rosh Hashanah, or some say it was the second day of Rosh Hashanah, so it was decreed already on the first day of Rosh Hashanah for the year to come. Now, it's interesting, it calls it Me'achori HaPargod, which is behind the curtain. I have not seen it anywhere, so if you see it in the notes, maybe someone says, or maybe this is totally off. But you know that the you know, where does Hashem reside in this world? In the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's like where His Spirit resides, which is, of course, separated behind the Paruchas. And we know that there is a Beis Mikdash up in Shemayim, which is parallel to our Beis Mikdash down here. Some say that's what's going to be brought down. It's the third Beis Mikdash. But presumably then Hashem even in Shemayim is behind a curtain in the corresponding Kodesh HaKadoshim. I thought that's maybe why it's called Me'achori HaPargod. And I haven't seen it anywhere. I don't know if it's correct, but so take it or leave it. Yes, used in a number of places. We're always where you want to hear, like, what's the secret discussions going on in Hashem's decision-making. It's always referred to as Me'achori HaPargod. You go on, like, kind of eavesdrop. If you want to eavesdrop on Hashem, you always listen behind the curtain. You can't go in. You have to listen behind the curtain. Now I go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Okay. So, Ma Paranos Bala Olam, they want to know what's going to happen, what bad things are happening that year. So, Amra La Chaverta, she says, Eni Chola, I can't, the other girl says, I can't go, Shani Kavura B'machatel Shakanim, because I am buried in this mat of reeds. So, what's the problem with being buried in the mat of reeds? So, here are the two explanations that are given. One explanation is that it's embarrassing, because she would go, that essentially it sounds like they would go up with what they were buried in. So the usual shrouds, she wasn't buried in. She was buried in something more demeaning, more embarrassing, and she didn't want to be seen going around in that sack of reeds. Another answer is that the body, the spirit isn't able to separate fully from the body until it's fully decomposed. And since the reeds are thicker and don't allow the body to decompose as quickly, that hadn't happened yet, so that she was not able to separate from the body and travel essentially with her friend to Shemayim. As well, which is why we specifically bury in the linen, which will decompose. It's a natural material. It will decompose more quickly than the reeds will, and allow the body to decompose and allow the neshama to ascend to Shemayim more quickly. So it says she can't go. So Ella Lechiat, so she says, you know, you go, Umasha Shemat, Amrili, and you'll come back and you'll, like, let me know what's going on. So Hachahi Vishata, so she goes. And she sort of flies around. Uba the Amrla Chaverta, and she comes to tell back to tell her friend what was said. So Chavrati Mashamat Me'achori HaPargod. What did you hear behind the curtain? So Amrla, I heard Shamati Shekol Hazorea Berevia Rishona. Anyone who's going to go ahead and sow this, you know, sort of plant in the first rain. The first rain. Right. Everyone's going to plant by the first rain. So Barad Malakosa, there's going to be a hailstorm that's going to come right afterwards, and it's going to wipe out those crops. Now, the Rashi explains that there were multiple sort of starting off points where there were like three rain, let's say periods that they were expecting rain, where they could possibly plant. Rashi says the first one, this comes from the Mishnayos in Tainus. The first one was on Yud Zayin B'Mar Cheshvan, right, the 17th day of Mar Cheshvan. The second was B'Chaf Gimel on the 23rd day of that month, And the third one was on Rosh Chodesh Kislev. These were like three rain times of the expected rain, and you could kind of plant coinciding, because you obviously want your seeds to germinate to be wet as they are planted, so you would kind of coincide your planting with one of those typical expected rain or rainy times. So if you planted with the earliest possible time, by the time the hailstorm came a month later or so, your crops were hardened, they were stronger and bigger. So they were affected more by the hail. If you planted later in the season, then your crops were still like younger and they were softer and they were more malleable and therefore able to withstand the barren. So anyone who's going to plant with the first season is going to have a problem. So what did he do? So he heard this good juicy tidbit of insider information, right? So he went ahead. Halachu b'zar b'rviyashniya. So the chassid went. He planted with the second rain. Shalkol olam kulo, when the hail came, the whole world's crops basically got destroyed. Shalo, but of this chassid, lo laka, his did not get destroyed. L'shana acheres, the next year, so this was a great opportunity, worked out really well from the first time, to halach v'lam b'beis ha'kvaros, he goes back to the beis ha'kvaros and he sleeps there again, or he has again this type of dream. V'shama osan shtei ruchos shemesachos zomzu, and he hears again that these two spirits are speaking to each other. Amra chada l'chaverta, one says to her friend, bo'i v'nashot ba'olam, let's go fly around the world and go up to Shemayim, v'nishma me'achorei ha'pargod, ma poranos ba'ala olam, it's again here what this year has to bring. So Amra la chaverti, she says, my friend, lo kach hamarti lach, didn't I already tell you? It's like new, didn't I tell you last year? Ein yechola, I can't go with you, shani kivur machatel shakanim. I'm buried in this read math. Elalchiat, you go, umashat shamat boi v'amri li, and you'll come back and tell me what the story, what the juicy story is. Sahalcha, she goes v'shata uba'a, and she comes back v'amr lachaverta. She comes back and tells her friend, chaverti mashamat neachoy pargo. What did you hear? So new, what's the exciting things happening in 2019? So v'amra la. So she told her friend, shamati shekol azorea b'revia shnia. Anyone's going to plant this year in the after the second rain, they're going to delay their planting a little bit. She dafo milake also. There's going to be this dry wind. There's going to be this wind that kind of blasts the crop. And again, if it's like a more like earlier stage of the development of that crop, so it's more susceptible to that wind. Whereas a very more established crop, if it was planted earlier and would be very more firmly rooted in the ground, will be more firmly established in its development, it's not going to be as effective. So another insider opportunity. So where did he go? He went ahead. There's no SEC up in Shemayim, I guess. Mm-hmm. So halach v'zara b'rivishni rishona. So he went ahead and planted the first opportunity, the earliest opportunity. So what happened? Of course, everyone learned their lesson last year, so they all planted later. They figured, you can't plant early, we're going to plant later. He planted earlier. So shekol olam kulo nishtaf. Everyone else's crops, they got blasted away by the wind. The shelo lo nishtaf, the his were unaffected. So he had plenty of crops and was able to make a nice profit now 2 years in a row. So now the only thing interesting is this is like a poor guy, a chassid, wasn't exactly, it's like a typical, these rabbis aren't necessarily the most financially savvy. He was obviously his whole life not like in the money. So his wife figured things up. So Amr lo ishto, he made ma ishtakad. How is it possible last year, shakol olam kulo laka v'shachal lo laka, that last year the whole world, their crops got destroyed and yours did not? And now this year, everyone's crops got blasted away by this wind, but yours was not affected by the wind. Like, how'd that work out? Like, his wife, yeah. She was like, honey.
How would you ask?
this wife clearly wants to know what's going on. So, sach la kol advarm halalu. So she told her, she told her the story. This is, I slept in the Beis HaKvaros, and these two spirits gave me this, what's going on in the world, in the coming year. So, Amru, they said, meaning, this is like the narrator telling us, Lohayu yamim mu'atim, it was only a few days later, Ashe naflak tasa ben ishto, shel oso chased, uben ima, shel oso riva. There was some heated discussion between this wife of the chased and the mother of the young girl, the spirit, who was buried in that Beis HaKvaros, because he told his wife all the details of the story, that the one can't go because she's buried in this reed mat. So what did she say when they were having the tea discussion? Maybe you have a tea discussion with someone, you want to like kind of stuff it, like give them a good stuff. A little, I hit them with like a one-liner, right, when you're really angry at someone. So what'd she do? So Amra La, so she said to the mother, let's go to see your daughter who's buried in this reed mat. You know, a lot embarrassing. How can you bury your daughter in the reed mat? How can you have done that? No one else knew. Apparently, I know. So it was very embarrassing to the mother. Lashana ha'acheras, the next year, the good chassid goes ahead and tries to get the next time inside information. Halach v'la on the beis ha'kavaros. And he goes back to the beis ha'kavaros, v'sham osa ruchos, shem sapro zo and zo, and he again hears them talking to each other. Amra la chaverti boi v'nashot ba'olam v'nishmei achorei ha'paragod ma paranas ba'olam. Let's go fly around the world, and let's get to hear what's happening for the next year. So Amra la, Chaverti, hinacheni, don't bother me anymore. Devarim shebeini levenech, the things that you and I are talking about, kvar nishmu bein hachayim, they are already being heard by those alive, by those living, already hear what we are discussing. So Alma, yadeh, must be that she knew, that the dead know what's being said in this world, because she knew her mother was embarrassed, and she felt the pain and suffering of her mother from that embarrassment. Well, first you learn that if you get a successful business deal, don't tell your wife the details because she'll tell her friends, and then that deal will not be available.
That's
one takeaway. The other point that the Gemara wants to make is that, well, you see from here that the B'nai Rabbi Chiya, this is why we quoted this thing, just step back, and remind us that the B'nai Rabbi Chiya who were suffering after they had, you know, forgotten their learning, so they were wondering, does Abba know what's going on? Does Tati know of Mishamayim? What, you know, what happened to us? How we're suffering through our learning? So it seems like from here, Amma Yadeh, yeah, they know because she knew her mother was suffering and it was because people were discussing or overheard their conversation. So the Gemara answer is, not such a good raya. Dilma Inish Achrini Shachiv, maybe there was some other guy from that like town who died. The Azuv Amma Lehu, when he like came up to Shemayim, he got to the Sikvars, he let these other two girls know that, you know, hey, I got to tell you about your family. Your mother got embarrassed the other day just before I died. And found because they found out that you were buried in the Siyam Machtel Shalkanim. So maybe it's not that they really know, but they could be told if someone else, as people come, they can get like news reports. But they don't themselves really know what's going on.
They don't know real time.
They don't know, yeah.
They don't know real time, but they can't know eventually.
They could potentially know. It depends who comes and what they tell them. Yeah. Okay.
So,
it's
just interesting that the two explanations about whether it was a dream or not, it apparently was a dream because why would he go back? But you could say he went back the night of Rosh Hashanah the second year, because it worked out well the first year. But you know, he did it the first year because his wife kicked him out of the house, right?
Right.
Why would he have gone back the second year and the third year?
He made money.
He made money. So you could say that that's the reason, or maybe that's why they say it was a dream.
Right? I think they see it as a dream from us or otherwise.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why they say, "Thus, your knowledge is deep in the
Mishnah
Torah."
Yeah. That's why. Again, they have the whole discussion about what, how is that appropriate? What was the story? Yeah. So that's the dream part. That's where it comes from. Okay. All right. So let's go. Let's go ahead. So we don't yet have any definitive. The point is, we don't yet have any definitive proof, which is what we really want to know. Which is, what do they know up in Shemayim? And yet we don't yet really know. So, Tashema, we have another Bryce, another attempt to try and figure out what's happening, if they know what's happening in Shemayim. So Dezi'ire, there is one, again, one of these Amoraim, and Havi Mafkid Zuzei Gabe Ushpechlite, he gave some money to his landlord to hold on to, Ad Asi V'Azalabeir, sorry, until he comes back. He left it with her, he went out to learn. So Ad Asi V'Azalabeir Rav, and by the time he went to learn, I guess he was there for a while in the Beis Medrash, or stayed in the Beis Medrash for a month or a year, whatever it was. During that time, Ba'amai, she passed away, Shechiva, so she died. So he wanted to get his money, he didn't know where she put it. So Azal Basra, so Zi'iri went after her, L'chatzar Mavis. So Chatzar Mavis either could be, some of this claim it means the Beis HaKfaros, so again, the same idea, he went to Beis HaKfaros to talk, or they say it means a spiritual, again, I don't know what this means, but it means they went to a spiritual place. He connected to the spiritual makom called the Chatzar Mavis, where you can kind of have this conversation with the spirit. So Amar La, he said to her, Zuzehecha, where's the money? You know, you die and you tell me where the money is. So where's the money? So Amar Le, she said to him, Zil Shaklimu Mitute Bitsinura Didasha Biduch plan. So you can go ahead and find the money at the, like, it's the, you know, where you kind of put the door, I guess, to connect it, I don't know if it's a hinge or some kind of peg or whatever, where you kind of connect the door in that space that is in that, when you, I guess, you lift it up. So there, that's where the money is hidden. B'doch plan in such and such a place. And furthermore, this woman said, apparently she was a young woman, said, le'ima, and also tell my mother, tishadu li masarkai v'guv sai, masarkai v'guv sai v'kuchla. Please have her send me my brush, my hairbrush, and like my makeup kit, v'hade plunisa v'asi l'machar, with this other so-and-so person who's going to come tomorrow.
Dynamo?
So, yeah.
They put on the lister that anyone coming from Shemayim.
Yeah.
Anybody coming?
You know, so there's someone coming, so-and-so's coming tomorrow, so have my mother, have that person take, now, I don't know exactly how they're taking the stuff up from Shemayim, but, Rashi says that, this woman died young, and she sort of still cared about her looks or whatever, and apparently was worried about how she was looking up in Shemayim, so ask for this to be sent along with the person. But the point is, Amri Diyade, so once again we see, it must be they know what's going on in this world, because she knew that someone was going to die tomorrow. So the Gemara answers, no, also, not a good proof. Duma Duma, Kadim Umachazu. Maybe there was a Duma, Rashi says Duma is this, like, angel up in Shemayim. Where is the Rashi? It's Duma Malach. It's a malach shehu memuna al hamesim. It's like the angel that's sort of in charge of all these dead people and Shemayim. So kadum machiz lehu, he normally would announce achshav yavo ploni, like so and so's coming, about to come. So that's something that they know. So the girl is able to, because that's announced. So the mason can know that information. But details about what's happening exactly in the world, they don't know that. So again, maybe they know about their own pain and suffering. And maybe they hear, announcements of what's going on. But the details of what's happening in the world, that they're not so aware of. Okay. All right, so let's go ahead. So we don't have a proof yet. So we're still looking for some definitive proof about whether or not they know what's happening in this world. So Tashima, another brisa. So Avdavud Shmuel, Havu maskide gabe zuze diasme. Avud Shmuel, the father of Shmuel, they would deposit with him. He was like the what's the word for it?
Treasurer.
No, not yeah, treasurer. Apotropos. What do they use in English? A person in charge of the state of trustee. He was a trustee. So he was a trustee for the estates, for the money of Yisomim, of these orphans. So kinach nafshe, when Avud Shmuel died, Lahavi Shmuel Gabe. Shmuel was not there with him to get, his last will and details of what his last financial arrangements. So Havu Kakari Le Bar Achil Zuze Diatne. And of course, the Shmuel didn't know where the money was. Well, the money of all these is the property, the money disappeared. So they would kind of disparagingly or in a teasing way call Shmuel, you're the guy who basically consumed or lost all the money of the Yisom. Not so nice. So, Azul Abashi L'chatzer Mavis. So, Shmuel, to kind of chase after these lost funds, goes after his father to the Chatzer Mavis, same place to try and connect his father. So, Amr Lahu, he says to his father, he gets up to Shemayim, and he says to them, I guess, the people guarding the gates, Ba'ina Abba, I want Abba. Now, Rashi says his father, he didn't say I want father, but his father's name was Abba. That was a common name. Even I know some people nowadays are called Abba. So he said, I want Abba. So Amrule, they said to him, Abba tu bikacha. A lot of names Abba floating around these parts. So I don't know what you're talking about. So Amrulehu, no, ba'ina Abba bar Abba. I want Abba the son of Abba. I mean, his grandfather was Abba. So Amrule, Abba bar Abba nami tu bikacha. There's lots of Abba bar Abbas also around here. So Amrulehu, so he said to him, okay, ba'ina Abba bar Abba avud Shmuel. I want the one who's the father, his name is Abba, who's the son of another Abba, whose son himself is Shmuel, me. That's the one I want. Hecha, where is he? So Amar Leis, so they said, that one we got. We can figure it out. It's interesting. I didn't see an explanation, but, like, why does they have to go through this whole process? Like, you know, like, why is it important for the Gemara to relate to us this whole dialogue?
I think I saw part of it. Well, first of all, they asked, why is he allowed to call his father by his name?
So, yeah, that was something that...
You shouldn't be able to say, is Michael here? Say, is Avi Mori here? So Rabbi Yashiv answers that, we saw earlier in Ted Zion, you're not supposed to call your Avadim, Abba something, Abba Tevi, because it was a name they gave him, like a... It was like Mr. or Sir. It was a name of prominence. So he wasn't really saying his name was Abba. They called him Abba because he was like the
Chush
guy. Wasn't saying his father's name.
Okay.
And I saw also the reason, and another horror was that you see that his father is named after his father.
Sorry, right.
Do, but Ashkenazim don't do as much. Meaning his name after a living father, I assume. But they say that, I think, that Shmuel did not want to give his name because you don't want to associate your name with a mace. Do you want to say, you know, is Shmuel's father here? Because when you're dealing with that world, you don't want to connect the world of the living to the world of the dead. So start off saying Abba, Abba Bar Abba, who are both dead.
Because if you would? Because
if you would, it's like not a good simon to connect your name to them.
Apparently that's what happened.
Well, that's what he had to do at the end. He was stuck because there was no other way to do it. But that's why he was stopped.
No, it ends with, unfortunately, we'll get to it. Okay, so the Gemara says, where is my father? So they said, Amr Leh, Salakum Sifta the Rikia. He's in his measures in Shemayim. He's learning up there. So Adahachi, while he's there, Chazid Lelevi, he saw Levi, another one of the Amorayim, the Yasve Avrai, he was sitting outside of the Beis Medrash, outside the group of people learning, Rashi says. So Amrle, Amai Yisaf Avrai, why are you sitting, he said to Levi, why are you sitting outside the circle? My time is Salakim, why didn't you go into the Beis Medrash? Why not up in the Masifta Derikia? So Levi says to Shmuel, Amrle, the Amar Li, because they told me, Kol ki hanach shne, all the years, the los salikas lemesifta de Rebbe Efes, or Afes, all the years they didn't go to the Beis Medrash to hear Rebbe Afes give Torah, and because you didn't go to hear, I'll tell you the story behind it in a second, because you didn't go to hear his Torah, lemailinan lach lemesifta de Rekiah. That's why we're not letting you in. For like the corresponding amount of time that you wouldn't go to hear Torah from this Rav Afes, then we're not letting you into the Masifta Derikia. So we'll get the details of the story in a second, but like it means like, you know, sometimes it's like, you know, people, I don't know, I heard like from someone, you know, tell a story like, you know, sometimes boys go off to Eretz Yisrael and they learn for a number of months and they're so stark and they're like, you know, they figure, whatever, they go back to their, you know, their home and they hear like the shul rabbi is giving a sermon. He's giving a little dvar Torah, which, you know, mitzvah and chamar. And they're like, I'm learning Gemara here, be'ian or something, you know, strong. I need to hear the little dvar Torah. So they go out to the next room to, like, you know, learn seriously over there. But it's not right. Or, you know, because what do you think the rabbi feels? I know that when this came up once, Rabbi Goldberg said that Rabbi Vicky, who. Okay, I'm sure I go over admit is a greater Talmid Chacham than everyone else in the room. Usually, hear Minchas Maariv, even when because he would always daven Maariv, he would daven Minchas Zman, and he would daven Maariv later when he was used to, when he would be here Thursday night or during the week, he would daven after, but he would always stay to whatever Rabbi Goldberg was talking about between Minchas Maariv, even though he was going to leave right after Mincha, really, but he waited to stay so it wouldn't be an affront to Rabbi Goldberg's kavod to leave or to show that I don't need to hear from your learning. The last thing I would say is that I remember personally that when I was a young guy myself in Einstein, and one of the common things, I was just a stark guy, I was trying to multitask. So when the rabbi would give the drasha, so I had my little Gemara open or whatever, Chumash Rebbe was learning, and I would like look and listen and learn at the same time. And the rabbi came over to me afterwards and said, you know, like, it's just embarrassing. It just like made him feel bad that like he looked like I was ignoring his drasha, even though I was trying to multitask. And he asked me like privately, if you could like kind of not do that, and I you know took a lesson and I try never to look at anything when the rabbi, you know, on the side when the rabbi is giving a drasha, because it's the same idea. It really is an affront to the kavod of whoever's giving the drasha to start kind of looking into other stuff. Okay, anyhow, the story is that when Yehuda Nasi died, he gave a bunch of instructions, and his instructions included who should be the next Rosh Hashiva. Rabbi Chiya was the person he said should be the next Rosh Hashiva, and the problem was that Rabbi Chiya was 2 years, he was the senior rabbi, but he was 2.5 years younger than this Rabbi Afes. So he told them, I can't be the Rosh Yeshiva because this person's older than me. He's like the more senior than me. Maybe he wasn't as great and learning, but he was more senior. And it'd be embarrassing for him not to be appointed the Rosh Yeshiva. So they signed. So they said, okay, you're right. They made him the Rosh Yeshiva, and Rabbi Yechiya was outside. So Levi felt bad for Rabbi Yechiya, okay? And so he stayed outside the Beis Medrash not to hear the drashos of Rabbi Atas, who was at the time the Rosh Yeshiva, and would stay with Rabbi Yechiya to learn, Chanina, not Rabbi Yechiya, Rabbi Chanina, and what? Rabbi Chanina Bachama, to learn with him outside the Beis Medrash. That was the story. But for that, even though he was kind of, you think he was doing the right thing, but he was still causing pain and anguish to the Rosh Yeshiva, he was punished for that and not allowed right away into the Mesifta Derekia. So Adahachi Vahachi, fine, while this discussion is happening, Asavua, his father showed up to this Medrash, Chazi Davikai Vahachi Vahachich, he saw his father is both crying and laughing. So Amrle, he says to his father, my time of Kabachis, why are you crying? So Amrle, Le'egil Ka'achis Asis, because pretty soon, there's, you know, in a short period of time, Shmuel, you're coming to join me here in Shemayim. My time achicha. So then, why are you laughing? So he's laughing. He says, his father answers him, "Dechashivas b'hai alma tuva," because you are very, very important. You are highly regarded in this world. So let's, for a moment, what does this mean? So Rashi explains that. Hold on. Rashi says. Rashi says, oh, anyhow, so then we'll get, Rashi explains, Rashi says it's that he realized that he knew, his father knew that Shmuel is highly regarded in this world, among those alive. So that's how you see, that's going to be our proof, according to Rashi, that you see that those who are dead know what's going on in the world. Because, in fact, his father knew that Shmuel is so highly regarded in this world. Okay. Tosus has a different understanding. You can see from his answer that Tosus understands that what's the proof? The proof is the fact that he knew he was coming. Now, he didn't say Shmuel was coming like that day or the next day, that it would have been announced by some malach who says the next guy, you know, the people are coming up right away. He meant in the short period of time, in the coming time. How in the world would Avud and Shmuel know that? It must be because they are privy to information about what's going on in this world and the future of the occurrences or the ongoing situations of man, even in Shemayim. That's Tosus's proof. So therefore, what does it mean that you're highly regarded in the world? It means you're highly regarded in Shemayim. That's what it means. You're highly regarded in Shemayim. When we get to the end, I'll give you a little extra interesting tidbit on that idea. So, Dechashivas Bahai Alma Tuva, you're very highly regarded in this world. So, Amr Lei, Ichashvina Na'ile Levi. So if I'm so important, if I'm so highly regarded, then let Levi, on my account, be let into the Beit Medrash. So, Zaylu Levi, they let him in, they have son Shmuel. So Amr Lei, so then he had a discussion with his father, Zuze Diat Mehecha, so where is this money of the Yisomim? That's why I came up. I forgot why I was here. I'm here to find out what's going on with the money of the Yisomim. So Amr Lei, no problem. Zil Shaklinhu, go get them. Amsa Derechaya, they're in like the underneath the millstone. I kind of hid them underneath there. So I live it. So Eli Vitatai, there's going to be stacks of money. The upper stacks and the lower stacks. There's like three tiers of money there. The upper and the lower, be done. That's our money. Umitziye Diyasme, and the ones in the middle, the middle stack of money, like in between, that's going to be the Yisomim. The Yisomim's money. So I'm like, so Shmuel said to his father, my time of Yitzhaki, why did you arrange the top, bottom, middle stacks with up that? So I'm like, he said to him, well, for the following reason, Ignuve Ganave, if someone's going to kind of dig up the stuff, they're going to grab the first layer and run. Well, then you know, Mignavu, Mididon, they'll at least steal from us, not from the Yisomim. The Achla Ara, and it's like the earth is going to like decay, cause it to like decay or rot. Then achla, you know, it's going to come from the bottom up. The more superficial stuff is going to last longer. So again, the lower layer will be the first to decompose the money and will not affect the money of the Yisomim. Right? Tremendous thing that the father Shmuel did to protect the money of the Yisomim. So once again, alma diade. So Rashi says, again here, that he knew, what did he know? What did we see that they know, that dead know what's going on in this world? Because they know that in this world, Shmuel was very highly regarded. Tosa says, based on his explanation of Alma Diyadeh, He says, because he knew that he was coming, like, in this near term, with no one's announcing that. So why doesn't Tosfos say like Rashi? Why, why isn't Tosfos explain that? Because Shmuel is very highly regarded in this world. I think, first of all, Pashut is, Shmuel wasn't very highly regarded in this world. They were making fun of him, right? Remember, this is the whole story. They were going ahead and saying not nice things about Shmuel because he was the one who consumed the money. I mean, his father took care of the money all these years. All of a sudden, the father dies. You still don't have no money left. So Shmuel stashed away somewhere in the slush fund.
So basically, they were just saying the people at Shemayim said they regarded him, not the people. He wasn't regarded down in this world.
No. Rashi explains that he was Chashive Ben HaChayim, that Shmuel was highly regarded among those alive, and that those in Shemayim knew that Shmuel was regarded. Obviously, those in Shemayim know that Shmuel is highly regarded in Shemayim. That wouldn't be a big thing. We're trying to prove that they know what's going on down here. So that Rashi says that they knew that that his father knew that Shmuel is highly regarded among those alive in this world. But it seems difficult because Shmuel wasn't very highly regarded necessarily at this moment in this world at this time. So one thing that's interesting is that the Marsha points this out, and he connects it to a Gemara, which also is well known in Bava Basra, that actually very close to the other one we quoted, which is that again, one of the Marim gets sick, Chalash Ingid, he goes up to Shemayim, and they ask him whether he healed, and they ask him, what did you see? He said, I saw Olam Hapuch, I saw an upside-down world. What did you see? Elyon Lamata, and Tachton Lamala. I saw those who in this world we think are so great, who are not so highly regarded up there. And I see the reverse, that people who are not so highly regarded here really are great up in Shemayim, which is, Marsha saying, like Shmuel. Shmuel was a little bit not so highly regarded down on earth, but the truth was, in Olam HaEmes, Shmuel was tremendous, and they knew how great Shmuel was. And that was the what his father understood, that what Tosfos is saying is that, yes, he was highly regarded up in Shemayim. Even though in this world, Shmuel was at the moment not so highly regarded, but in Shemayim, Shmuel, you should know, they hold you in the highest of regard. Because in the Olam HaEmes, they know exactly what everyone is doing and how much they should be doing. And there he was, Shmuel did everything he was supposed to do. He wasn't messing around with the money of the orphans. Okay. Okay, let's finish up. So we have a proof now that they know what's going on. So the Gemara answer is maybe that's not such a good proof. Dilma, Shiny Shmuel, Kaven de Chashiv, Kadne Machriz, Panu Makom. It could be that Shmuel is so great that they actually did have to announce, like, make space, almost like, it was like a stadium. And they said, like, clear section, like, right by, 50 yard line, we need to move a few seats over. Shmuel's coming soon, so we got to make proper arrangements in advance. So it could be they talk anew in some unusual circumstances when great people come, even well in advance of their coming. So again, it's not a proof that they generally know what's happening in this world. Okay. So again, we don't have any definitive proof yet. The Afrib Yochanan Hadarbay, and even Rabbi Yochanan changed his mind about whether they understand what's happening in this world. Because remember we had, Morty had said last week that Rabbi Yochanan was in the cemetery and his sitzes were dragging on the graves, and he, wasn't so sort of careful about it because he didn't feel that they were, that the dead knew what was happening. And was he? Was with Rabbi Chanina also? Was he with Rabbi Chia? He was with Rabbi Chia, who's the sons in this story. So he's with Rabbi Chia, and Rabbi Chia told him, you got to be careful because that's embarrassing to those in the world to come that you're kind of dragging your sitzes on their graves. So even Rabbi Yochanan changed his mind about what they know and they don't know. The Amr, Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, they said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Inayim lemesim shemesaprim zemze. How do we know that the dead talk among themselves? Shenemar, Vayomer Hashem elav, Zot ha'aretz asher nishbati la'avram liyitzhak v'liyakov lemor. Hashem is telling, this is when Moshe's, at the end of Moshe's life, he says to him, this is the land that I have sworn to Avram and Yaakov, he's telling Moshe, this is the land I'm going to be giving to B'nai Israel, Lamor to say. So, my Lamor, what is the Lamor to say? Usually it's like, when Hashem tells Moshe to tell B'nai Israel, there's no to tell B'nai Israel here. So what is it that Moshe is supposed to say? So Amar, Rav Yochanan explained, Amar Kosh Baruch Hu, Lamoshe, Lechem Or Lehem, you're going to die, and I want you to go to tell La'Avram, Le'Yitzhak, U'Li'Yakov. And I want you to tell the three Avos, Shavuah Shnishbati Lechem, that's that oath I made to you that I'm going to give your children the land. Kvar Kiyamtia Levnechem. It happened. It got fulfilled to your children. I saw it. Moshe, I saw it happen. If you think that the dead don't really know what's going on at all, they can't understand. Rashi says, All they can kind of ascertain in the world to come is that they're having some like decomposition of their body, but that's it. They otherwise understand what's happening in this world. So ki amruluhu mayhave, what would it be meaningless for Moshe to talk to Avram and Yaakov? They can't understand what's happening in this world anymore. So must be they know. The Gemara says, wait. Ella my diyade. So then you want to say that they do know what's happening in Shemayim? They know what's happening down on earth. Well, if that's the case, lamilei lemeimaluhu. You don't need Moshe to tell them. They know. I mean, if the idea is that they generally know what's happening down on earth, they're aware of what's happening here. They don't need information. They don't need like a special messenger. They know. So the Gemara says, no. Lachzuk le'tivusa le'Moshe. What they want to do is they wanted to be able to give credit to Moshe. They wanted me to say machzik tova, to basically thank him. So he was just the messenger. They knew. But when Hashem would send Moshe and he would tell them, they'd say, oh, thank you so much. And Moshe would get his proper due, I guess, for having brought B'nai Shah Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael. So we stop. What time is the
40?
So you want to get to two dots, or you want to stop here?
Oh, yeah,
I'll
just keep on going.
Yeah, all right, fine. Keep on going. I don't know if there's a chunk coming out, but if there's a chunk coming out, we'll stop. Okay, so let's keep going. So Amr V Yitzchak Kol Masapra Achari HaMes. Anyone who speaks after a person has died disparagingly, Kibu Masapra Achari HaEvet. It's like talking to stones. It's like the origin of sticks and stones. You know, breaking those horns with their army. Mm-hmm. So if you speak about a dead person after they died, it's like speaking to a stone, meaning it's meaningless. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have any effect on them. The ikadami yodei. Some people say it's because they don't know, meaning the dead don't have any idea of what's happening in this world, so it doesn't affect them. The ikadami, and others say, no, they know what's happening. The yodei, look, Maslu, they could care less. Do you think they care in Shemayim what you little human being is saying down over here? Aini, is that true that they don't care? V'amr papa chadishtai milsa basre der mar Shmuel. Someone said very not nice things about Shmuel after he died. And guess what happened? The nafal kanya the mitala ubaz la'arniki the moche. A big beam fell off the roof, and it split his head and actually ripped open the membranes. Like, you know, the dura opened up. You know, his brain opened up and spilled on the floor. After that happened, must be Shmuel took offense at it and saw fit to have him punished. So the Gemara says, no, shiny tzurim rabbanon dekutsha brichu tave biyakare. Be very careful if you ever disparage a Talmud Chacham, because it's not the Talmud Chacham that's going to come after you. Hashem himself is going to seek out retribution for the damage to the reputation of the Talmud Chacham.
What about anybody?
Not specifically, it sounds like. If a person is deserving of a punishment, he will. But Hashem is specifically going to come after a person if they disparage a dead Talmud Chacham. That's what this line says. So Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Kol Mesaper Achar, Mitasan shall Tamei Chacham. Anyone who goes ahead and speaks disparagingly after the death of a Tamei Chacham, nofel beganim. He goes to Gehenim. It's punishable by extra, you know, time in Gehenim. Shenamar, Hamatim Achak Losam Yulichu Hashem Espoli Haven. The Rashi explains the pasuk earlier has said that Hashem is going to give reward to those who are good. It says, Heitiva Hashem Latov. Hashem's going to do good to those who are righteous. And then hamatim akalkulasam, those who kind of twist it, those who are righteous, but there are others who kind of twist their righteousness and make it like perverse, and make it twist around their reputation. Guess what? Yolicha Hashem apoliavan. He's going to grab them and take those individuals who are twisting the legacy of those who are really righteous, and they're taking right to Gehenna. And then it ends off by saying Shalma Yisrael. What does that mean? Afilu b'shal shalma Yisrael. Even after, this is a nice way of saying after they've died. So they're with their shalom. So Yolichim Hashem as Poli Avin, Hashem is going to take them to Gehenim. Okay, that's the proof of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, not to disparage Tamei Chacham. Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, Im Ra'isa Tamei Chacham Sha'avar Aveir B'Laila, if you see a Tamei Chacham who's done an Aveir at night, Al Tahar Achrav, do not kind of wonder about him or doubt him by Yom the next day. Shema Asa Tshuva, because maybe that night after he did the Aveir, he also did Tshuva for it. Says Shema Salka Daitach. Maybe he did tshuva. Yeah, that's not so great. No. You should assume Vadei as tshuva. You should assume that the guy at night you saw he didn't do this thing a little questionable. You should assume he did tshuva the next day. So don't think ill of him. V'hani mili b'dvarim shebegufo. That's a personal matters. Ava b'mamona, when it comes to money, monetary matters, if you see that he did something again. They point out, it doesn't mean that they stole, because if they stole, you really, you know, that's a really bad thing. It's not, you're not a Talmud Chacham. You're not a very special, righteous person if you steal, literally steal. rather means that they were kind of, they took a little liberty with something that was questionable, of questionable issue with money. But then you can have some doubt, ad-demeh hader lemare, until he goes ahead and he actually restores the money to his proper owner. And then you can have your doubts rest assured that he is a chamchach. Okay, shkoyach, we'll pick up next week with the tzedakah.